All right, let's take our Bibles this morning, please, and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. It's real easy to find. It's right before 2 Timothy. All right. I'm just trying to help you, John. All right. All right, let's begin reading, please, chapter 2, and we'll begin reading in verse 9. Verse 9, read down to the end of the chapter. All right, starting at verse 9, it says, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair plaited, or gold, or pearls, or costly array, but, parentheses, which becometh women professing godliness, close parentheses, with good works. Now, everybody look right here. All right, I did not write this. All right, I did not write this. So don't start. Verse 11, it says, let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. And I didn't say amen either. Verse 12, we're not done, hold on. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Now here's why. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. All right, I'm going to stop reading right there. And all the women said, amen. I'm going to stop reading right there. And let's pray and ask the Lord to help us this morning. Father, thank you so much for the beautiful music. Thank you for that beautiful song the choir did and the congregational songs that bless our hearts. And Father, thank you for the special that the Mueller family did. And Lord, we just ask now that you will bless as we open your eternal word. And I pray that you will give understanding and help us to be able to discern everything that Paul is saying here to Timothy and to us. And so, Father, help me as I speak. I pray you'll bless. Give me the words to say. And I pray that we'll all have attentive minds and hearts to what thus saith the Lord. And we'll give you the praise and glory for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Someone has rightly said that within every individual is the potential for a world of good or a world of evil. Every one of us must choose which direction and which path we are going to take. Let me give you a couple of examples on both ends of the spectrum. Adolf Hitler was once, think about this now, it's hard, but think about this. But Adolf Hitler was once a little baby who was loved and adored by his parents, by his mother. But he chose a path, and it was an evil path. And multitudes upon multitudes, millions upon millions of people died as a result of the path that man chose. And his evil has impacted the entire globe, and our world today is still reeling from his evil path. That's one side of the spectrum. But on the flip side, look at another individual by the name of Dwight Lyman Moody. We know him as Mr. Moody. He was a shoe salesman, and he got saved, and he started reading his Bible, and he started getting a burden for the souls of men. And so he decided that he was going to start the first bus ministry, even though there were no such things as buses at that time. You say, well, how did he do that if there was no such thing as a bus? Well, back in the mid-1800s, they had horses and wagons. And that's how Mr. Moody started the bus ministry. He started it with wagons and horses. Every Sunday morning, scads and scores of people would show up with their wagons, and they would go all over the city of Chicago, and they would round up little boys and girls and bring them to Sunday school. And thus, the church, the Moody Church, was founded. And Mr. Moody saw millions of people in evangelism, and through his ministry there in Chicago, as well as in Great Britain, who were impacted and influenced through his decision to follow God. Moody said one time that the world has yet to see a believer who has sold out to the Lord Jesus Christ and what God can do with that person. And by the grace of God, I want to be that person. And that was how the man lived his life. And oh, how God blessed him in so many, many ways. If that principle is true of men, well, then that principle must of necessity also be true of women. You see, within every woman listening this morning in this room and listening on the internet and listening by a CD or however means you're listening to this message, every woman in this room has the potential for either a world of good or a world of evil. It's within us all. As a Christian lady, as a born-again mother or grandmother, or as a young lady who wants to be a wife and a mother someday, you should ask yourself this question. What potential am I delivering for the Lord in my life? What potential am I delivering today? In your home, in your family, in your school, at your job, ask yourself this morning, am I being the full influence for the Lord that He would have me to be? And you know, the Bible is full of great women who used their potential for the Lord to its fullest. There are so many great Bible women that I could call to your attention. Just think about Ruth and Naomi. Just think about Hannah, who was the mother of Samuel the prophet. And she prayed for a child and promised God, if you give me a child, I'll give him back to you. And that's exactly what she did. The Lord blessed her with Samuel, one of the great prophets of the Old Testament scripture, a man greatly used of God. And she turned right around and gave him back to the Lord, and look at how the Lord used Samuel. It was Samuel who anointed David to be the king over Israel, and then anointed David to be the king over Judah. So he was anointed as king of both the northern tribes and the two southern tribes, Judah and Benjamin. And so Samuel had a great impact and a great influence in the scripture, all because of a dedicated woman, mother, by the name of Hannah. And then think about Mary and Martha. Oh my, everybody knows Mary and Martha. What great godly women, and what a great impact they had on the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And then think about Mary Magdalene. What wonderful godly influences all of these ladies were. There were others in the Bible who did not use their power and their influence in a positive way to incite the world to good, but they instead used their power and influence to incite an entire world of sin and wickedness. And I'm thinking here about some women who are mentioned in the Bible who abused their influence and who obscured the dawn of ambition and who extinguished the stars of hope. I'm thinking about Jezebel. Oh, what a horrible person she was. I mean, what an evil-hearted woman was Jezebel. And just think of all of the destruction that woman caused, death to innocent people. She was the wicked and vengeful wife of King Ahab. I'm thinking about Mrs. Potiphar, who tried to lure Joseph to sin against God. When she tried to get him to sin, he took off and he said, "How can I do this thing against my God?" What a godly man was Joseph, but what a terrible person was Mrs. Potiphar. And I then think about the wickedness of Delilah. Oh my, how the devil used that woman who tore down Samson until she ruined and rendered him helpless. What an evil-hearted woman she was. And I'm thinking about the wickedness of Herodias, who was King Herod's girlfriend. She was his brother's wife, but she left her husband to go with King Herod, and she, you remember, was the one who orchestrated the beheading of John the Baptist through her guile and deceit. Every life represents a purpose of God. Every life. And every pastor yearns to have his people fulfill God's purpose for their lives to the very fullest. Now, I want to challenge every mother and every grandmother and all of our young ladies who one day hope to become a mother. I want to challenge all of you to understand the natural influence you have been given by God Himself. And then use that influence for the glory of God, for the cause of Christ, and to do a world of good to those whom you love. Mothers, listen to me. You need to understand that the Lord has a divine purpose for your life. God Almighty has a divine purpose for your life. And I want to challenge you to find that purpose. You see, ladies, even though men are physically stronger in most cases than you, you have a strength, an inner strength. You have a force, a power that is within you, a strength that is within you that I'm not sure that a lot of ladies understand how strong that influence is. I know that most men don't. They just don't stop to think about that. Guys, I'm going to enlighten you a little bit here this morning too, so please don't go to sleep yet. All right? It's just Mother's Day. I don't need to listen. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. I'm going to help you if you'll listen. Someone said, "Man is the head of the race." And I certainly believe that to be true. But then after the preacher said that, the wife leaned over to her husband and said, yeah, but woman is the neck that turns the head. And that's true, isn't it? Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. We all know. We all know. And I certainly will not agree, will not argue with that point either. All right, now look carefully, please, at verse 14. I want to lay down a principle here, and I want you to stay with me, and I'm going to amplify on what this, I think, means. Look at verse 14. It says, and Adam was not deceived. Now, what's that mean? Well, that means that in the Garden of Eden, when the devil, when the serpent came through, that evidently the serpent tried to get Adam to sin first. After all, look at verse 13. Adam was formed first. All right? He was the head of the race, the human race. All right? So Adam was first formed, then Eve. But then God says in verse 14 that Adam was not deceived. In other words, when the devil came, the serpent came and tried to get Adam to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, Adam said, no, no. And he would not respond, and he would not do what the serpent tempted him to do. Adam was not about to eat of the tree because God said, don't eat it. Adam was strong enough to resist the devil. But look, please, at the next phrase. But the woman being deceived. So after she was deceived, in other words, the serpent went to Adam. Adam said, uh-uh, no, you're not tricking me into disobeying God. Then the serpent went to Eve, and Eve was able to be deceived by the serpent. Now keep this in mind. Adam wasn't. Eve was. And so read the verse. But the woman being deceived was in the transgression. So in other words, everybody look here. This is the premise that I want you to get. Everybody look right here. All right? Eve got Adam to do what the devil couldn't get Adam to do. Do you see that? Now, you say, well, I never thought of that. It's right here in the Bible. But it's true, isn't it? You see, it was the woman who got the man to do what the devil couldn't get the man to do. She was able. Why? I'll tell you why. Because she has a power that once that power is unleashed, most men are petty. They cannot defend themselves. Let me put it this way. They won't defend themselves. You know, how's that go? Would you rather be right or happy? And all the men folks said, yes, indeed. Of course, you're not going to say it. Your wife's sitting right there. There is an influence, ladies. That's what I'm saying. She got her husband to do what the devil couldn't get him to do. That's amazing, is it not? And that answers a world of questions in my mind. I don't know about how you look at it, but that's what I see. You see, Eve was able to convince Adam to follow suit, follow her lead. Now, wait a minute. Let's go back here for just a second. Go back to verse 10. It says in verse 10, "But which becometh women professing godliness with good works, let the woman learn in silence with all what?" But she's not in subjection. She's leading. She's leading. All right? You say, well, where was Adam? Well, that's a good question. You can ask it when you get to heaven. You can ask Adam, hey, when the serpent came to Eve, where were you? Well, he's probably out throwing rocks. You know? Man, that was a good one, wasn't it? Watch this. I can skip this all the way across the lake. Watch this. He's out. Adam's doing what men do. Not leading. Hello? You see, it's a two-way street. What does God say? Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. All right? It says, but I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man. You say, Pastor, is that saying that I'm not supposed to teach my Sunday school class? No, it's saying that you are not to usurp authority over a man. That's why, sit still, that's why women are not supposed to pastor. All right? You say, but there's women preachers today. You're antiquated. No, I'm biblical. I'm biblical. Are you saying women can't pastor? I didn't say intellectually or scholarly wise. I didn't say that. I said Bible wise. God said no. You don't know my Aunt Susie. No, I know God, though. Well, my Aunt Susie said she saw the Lord and he told her to preach. Oh, so your Aunt Susie said that God said he's going to violate his word just so she could pastor a church. All right, now, hello? Why don't we just do what the Bible says? Now, it's going to get the cards and letters coming. All right, now, I got to get to the message. All right, I'm chasing rabbits. I'm chasing rabbits. Now, how should you ladies understand this influence? What do you do about this influence you have? You know, it's there. It's there. And the day you figure it out, oh my. Oh my. That's when you better make the right decision, ladies. What am I going to do with my power, my influence? Because, boy, you have one. You have one. Well, here's what I want you to get. I think your influence should always be positive. Positive. Moms, let me tell you something. You might not have fully grasped this about yourselves, but the truth is, you ladies can make or break a family, or you can make or break a church quicker than anything under the sun. You really can. I didn't just crawl out from under a pumpkin leaf. I've been doing this a long time. And I sat this week and I thought about it. And I thought, you know, if I could choose who I wanted mad at me in the church, three men or three women, I'd take the three men any day. Yeah. Any day of the week. And the reason is because I know the power of your influence. I mean, just think about it. Satan came to Adam and said, hey, you know, if you eat this fruit God said that you're not supposed to eat, you're going to know as much as God knows. And Adam said, I don't need to know as much as God knows. I just need to know God. No, I'm not doing that. Well, it'll make you wise. Pretty smart right now. I don't need extra smarts. It'll taste good. Appeal to the flesh, or you'll love the taste. Say, well, there's plenty around here to eat. There's stuff I love to eat here. I don't need something different. No, I'm not buying what you're selling. So the devil just went over and got Eve. Adam said, no, I'm not going to do that. And Adam told the serpent to go away. And so he went to Eve and began to work on Eve. Well, she ate the fruit, and then she came to Adam, and I don't know what she said to him. The Bible doesn't tell us, but I'm sure that the Holy Spirit's not wanting you women to get any ammunition to get started, but I do know what the final outcome of things was, and she was able to persuade Adam to eat. Satan could not deceive Adam, but Eve certainly could. Oh, what authority, what power, what influence you have. A mother's influence over her husband and over her children is huge. Huge. I heard a story about a lady who watched newlywed couple moved in beside of her. And of course, they lived in a small town. Everybody knew everybody. And so the elderly neighbor came over one day and sat down and started talking and in the kitchen. And this newlywed mother cut the end of a ham that she was getting ready to bake. She cut the end of the ham off. And the elderly lady said, well, honey, why did you cut the end of that ham off? Why did you do that? She said, I don't know. My mother always did it that way. She said, really? Said, yeah, she always did. Every time. And so the elderly lady knew the mother. She just lived across the street. So she picked up her cell phone and said, and called and said, I'm over here at your daughter's house. She cut the end of the ham off and put it in aluminum foil and froze it. She said the reason she did it is because you always did it. Why do you do that? She said, well, I don't know. I mean, I always did it because my mother always did it. And so the elderly lady knew the grandmother who lived just a couple doors down. So she called her and said, hey, I'm at your granddaughter's house, and I'm watching her get ready to cook a ham. And she just cut the end of the ham off. And she said the reason she did it was because her mom always did it. And so I called her, and she said she did it because you always did it. Why in the world do you cut the end off the ham? And she smiled from ear to ear to herself, thinking, and she said, well, I always did it because I didn't have a pan big enough to fit the ham in. Why are you doing that? Mama did it. Mama did it. I mean, I've illustrated before. You see a football game, and here's this 380-pound lineman, and his teeth are missing, and he's got blood running down his nose, and he comes off the field after sacking the quarterback, and he comes off the field, and he's muddy, and he's dirty, and he rips his helmet off and smiles into the camera, scaring half the nation to death, and he says, Hi, Mom. Why? Because your influence. It's your influence. Now, ladies, listen. Here's the thing. The devil does not want you to use that influence for good. He wants you to use that influence in the wrong direction. Look at verse 11 again. He says, let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. Well, that's the hardest thing for a lot of women to do. Well, I ain't listening to you. You ain't telling me what to do. I've had women come up to me and say, who do you think you are? I say, excuse me? You can't tell me what to do. I said, ma'am, I'm not trying to tell you what to do. I'm trying to tell you what you ought to do. But I can't tell you what to do. You're your own person. But you see, it's only natural because of the sin nature. It's natural for a woman to do the opposite of what God says a woman is supposed to be. It's just the way it is, folks. It's sin. It's within us. It's who we are. Back in the early 1900s, there were two cars in the whole state of Oklahoma, and they had a head-on collision. It's who we are. You know? Like a little kid out there walking around the swimming pool. Mom says, you stay out of that pool. Okay. But he's as close to the pool as he can get. Why? Sin nature. Sin nature. At the ball game yesterday, and, you know, you're pulling for the kids. Oh, come on, man, hit that ball. Get a walk, get hit with a ball. Just get on base, you know. And you're pulling for them because you know that in their hearts, that's what they want to do. They want to hit that ball and get on base. And so little guy gets up, and man, he swings and fouls one back. Then he takes a pitch, and the ump calls it a strike. Everybody knows it was 4 miles outside. All right, and the little boy's disappointed. And then the third pitch, and he fouls it off. And then the fourth pitch, and it's a ball. And then it gets 3-2. And then all of a sudden, one comes down the middle, and he swings, comes completely out of his shoes, swinging at the ball, but he misses it. And man, the hangdog, you know, hangdog look. That's what my grandfather used to call it. Get that hangdog look off of you, boy. And you slump your shoulders and, you know, poochy lip. And oh, man. He walked back all humiliated and embarrassed because you struck out. Hey, that's life, you know. Maybe next time you'll get a hit. But why do we do that? It's in nature. It's just there. It governs everything we do. It really does. It governs everything we do. And so think about it for just a moment. Here is God saying, ladies, I want you to be like this. And here's why I want you to be like this. And the ladies go, well, I ain't going to be like that. Ain't no man going to tell me what to do. Well, I'm my own woman. You can't tell me what to do. And what you're basically doing, girls, listen, I'm not trying to be unkind here, but what you're doing is you're shaking your fist at God. And you're saying, God, you don't know what you're doing. This is not the way it's supposed to be. Oh, boy, I wouldn't want to be shaking my fist at God. He said, well, that's contrary to 2025. I know. And it's also one of the biggest roots to our problems in the home. Because on the flip side, you got this little weenie man who doesn't want to do anything. Yes, dear. Yes, dear. Yes, dear. Hey, you say, well, that's not right. Yes, it is. Let me help you here. Who on Sunday morning is the one who gets everybody out of bed, fed? Yes. Yes. It takes a crowbar to get that thing out of bed, doesn't it? Huh? Yeah. Yeah. I know. I'm the same way. I got to do everything around here, and I get no help whatsoever. Yeah, I know. I know. You know? Because God said we're supposed to lead. We don't want to lead. Why? Because God said so. We're just rebels against God. That's what it is. And so the lady says, well, if he ain't going to do it, I'm going to do it. And so, buddy, it's Katie bar the door. And then you got this little wimpy man who sits around all his married life going, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And she comes home and she says, I'm leaving. You're leaving what? The church. I'm leaving the church. Why are you leaving the church? Because pastor just preaches against me. He preaches against everybody. No, it's me. I know he's talking about me. And he sits over and he goes, well, I like it. I don't want to leave. She says, do you hear what I said? And he goes, yes, ma'am. Hello? So I don't agree with that. Well, you have a right to do that, but it's kind of hard to argue with the obvious. It really is. Mm-mm-mm. Done quit preaching and started meddling, hadn't I? Several years ago, shortly after we came here, this fellow came in my office one day and he said, well, I guess you noticed we've left the church. And I said, yeah, I noticed that. And he said, well, my wife thought, and I went, whoa, 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 whoa. What'd you just say? He said, I walked right into that spider web, didn't I? I said, yes, you did. Your wife said? I thought you were supposed to be the high priest in the home. Your wife said? And I looked him square in the face and I said to him, sir, listen, do you want to leave? He said, oh, no, man. No, I don't. I said, then you need to grow up. You need to do what God says is your role in the home. You are the high priest of your family. You are the one who is responsible for your wife and your children. It's not the other way around. I was reading in the Bible here this week, and you know what the Bible says? This is going to shock some of you. You know, but this is what the Bible says. The Bible says that the Lord has placed the pastor as the overseer of the church. Isn't that weird? Well, what do you know about that? And yet, how many times do you have a man who doesn't want to lead, you have a woman who wants to lead, and they sit there and they say, you're not reaching me. You're not going to tell me what to do. I'm not trying to tell anybody what to do, folks. Honestly, I'm not. I am trying to tell you what you ought to do. And I use all kinds of means to try and get that accomplished. Principle, illustration, humor. I mean, I do all kinds of things to try and get you to pay attention and get you to get what God's word has to say. And right here it is in black and white. For Adam was first formed, and Adam was not deceived. But the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Huh. Well, let the woman learn in silence. That doesn't mean that you're not allowed, that you're not allowed to teach a children's Sunday school class or work on a bus. That's not what God's saying. God's not this big ogre, stands up there with a heavenly baseball bat and bops people over the head. No. But what God is saying is that, hey, guys, hey, men, lead. Be the leader. Pull that seatbelt just one time, would you? All right, don't want anybody falling out in the floor. I know that, and really, I'm a nice guy. I'm a nice guy. Really, trust me on that, would you? But you know, when I'm up here in this pulpit, I sometimes lose myself. And I become something that God wants me to be. And that's an authoritative man of God. All right, here's where you tug. All right, watch. That grates on a rebellious natured woman. Now, I'm sorry, but it does. You say, well, I love it. Good for you. Good for you, ladies. Good for you. But boy, not everybody does. Not everybody does. You can't tell me what to do. I'm not trying to tell you what to do. I'm trying to tell you what you ought to do. What's wrong with that? That's my job. I mean, I'm pretty sure that the Bible tells me that I am to preach the word of God. That doesn't mean stand up here and tickle you underneath your chin and tell you how wonderful you are. Because we all know better, don't we? Huh? Yeah. Here's a novel idea. All right? Here's a novel idea. Let me read you one more verse. All right? This is where it starts. I won't have you turn to it. I'm just going to read it to you. But here's where it starts. Genesis chapter 3, when Eve saw the fruit, that it was good, et cetera, et cetera. And she took it, and then she gave to Adam, and Adam did eat also. And so here comes God, and God says, Adam, where are you? And he said, well, I was hiding over here in the trees. And God said, well, Adam, did you disobey me? Did you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? And Adam said, well, it wasn't my fault. It's her fault. It's her fault. This one right here, the one you gave me. You see what he did? Oh, don't take the lead, Adam. Don't claim it. God, this is your fault. If you hadn't given me this woman, we'd still be good. Yeah. All right, now watch. And that did not float with God. And verse 13, it says, the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, well, it wasn't my fault. It was that serpent's fault. You see, nobody wants to take the blame for anything. That's just the way the sin nature works. All right, but then notice this. It says in verse 15, God promised, and he said, well, I'm going to put enmity between thee and the woman, between the devil and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now that enmity was Christ. All right? And then look at verse, I didn't have you turn. Listen to it, I'll read it. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. And in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, comma. All right, you ready? And thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. So folks, it's only natural, if this is God's plan, it's only natural for the man to say, well, I'm not going to lead. I'm not going to rule. And it's only natural for the woman to say, who do you think you are ruling over me? You see, it's only natural for us to want to do the opposite of what God tells us to do. That makes sense to you? All right, so here's a novel idea, all right? Dad, how about being the high priest in your home? Huh? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're the one to guide your family in a relationship with God. You're the one. That's your responsibility. And wives, listen, your job is to be the helpmeet. The Hebrew word there means to complete. To complete. Not divide. Not conquer. Complete. Amen. Amen. All right, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I pray now you'll speak to our hearts. Help us, Father, to realize and understand the importance of obeying the Word of God, just doing what the Bible tells us to do. And Father, I pray you'll give wisdom to all of the mothers and all the ladies in here. Help them to see their responsibility and role and their influence. Help them, Father, to realize that that influence is there. Whether they recognize it or not, it's there. So, Father, help us, help these ladies here to realize that influence they have and then to use it to build instead of tear down. And so, Father, bless. I pray that you will also give the men the desire to want to lead and to be the high priest in their home and to lead their families to do what they need to do for you. So, Father, bless what's been said. Give us understanding in Christ's name. Amen.